This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Wow. Sounds like insects buzzing. Maybe old electronics gone haywire. Wait, what you're really hearing is a brain during a seizure. Each one of those yips and yaps represents thousands of neurons firing together in an epilepsy patient's brain. Scientists recorded that eerie music with a new tool. They call it the brain stethoscope, and they hope one day doctors and caretakers will use it to spot seizures, especially those small, subtle ones that sometimes fly under the radar. How do brain waves become brain songs? We've got the inventors of the brain stethoscope here to explain. Josef Pervezi is an associate professor of neurology at Stanford University Medical Center, and Chris Chafe is a composer and director of the Center for Computer Research in Music and Acoustics at Stanford. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Our pleasure.
We're going to give out our number. Our number 844-724-8255 if you'd like to talk about that and what kind of music the brain makes. Josef, let's talk about where did the idea of making a brain stethoscope come from?
Well, the idea came when I was attending my favorite Kronos Quartet show. That was in January 2008 when the quartet was playing to the sounds of space, what they call spacescapes. Incredible sounds of our solar system and spectacular photos of the space and the universe from Hubble and Voyager. And I was just amazed that we could have such an amazing understanding of what's going on in space. It gave me so much of emotional experience. So I said, well, they say we have a universe between our ears. In our brain, a universe is hidden. So why don't we try something like this? Because I know for the fact that brain works with electricity. And in fact, I actually work as a clinician and I treat patients with seizures. So I said, okay, we will have to find someone who will be able to convert these electrical signals and fields into something audible. Mm-hmm. And that's how I found Chris.
And were you actually able to first record the seizures so that he could convert it into something audible?
You know, Ira, my job is to treat patients with intractable epilepsy. So mm-hmm. on a daily basis, I review EEGs or electroencephalograms. So I have a lot of recordings. And in fact, we had one recording from one patient who was very much into this idea, and we actually asked her for her consent whether or not we could use some of the recordings, namely electrical recordings, to convert them into sound.
And Josef, how does, and I'll ask you this, Chris, also, how does the brain stethoscope then pick up these signals? Chris, describe the physical stuff that you do to make it into sort of music sound like that.
I will leave the most difficult part to Chris.
Okay.
And I will just say the easiest one. I'm a clinician, so I do record electrical activity from the scalp. So if somebody goes into seizure, these electrical waves generated inside the brain become very high amplitude and very rhythmic. Mm-hmm. So we do have those recordings, and we are now able to record it with this simple device, namely the brain stethoscope, and then we transmit it into a computer or a chip that is within the stethoscope itself. That's mm-hmm. where Chris's algorithm comes very handy and does magic and turns those electrical waves into these beautiful sounds.
Right, Chris, I'm going to play a clip. I want to play a clip for our audience, and then after they hear it, I want you to describe how you're able to make the sounds from the seizures into that sound. And let's hear first some regular brain activity. Wow. Chris, how are you able to make brain waves into that sound?
So you're listening to a very sort of calm state of the brain, and the stethoscope is acting exactly as Josef described. There's some electrodes which pick up the current state of the brainwave signals in a location that we've chosen. The signals, I think everybody can kind of visualize in their mind's eye. These are wavy lines that progress through time. And you may have even heard a little bit of a kind of chattery sound in there, but it's it's sort of subtle. And you can imagine that's a just small perturbation or deflection of that graph.
But we're actually hearing a human voice, it sounds like.
Right. So I'm taking the signal that you can imagine in your mind's eye there, and I'm applying it to a synthesis of a human voice, which we're doing with a computer music system. And if that were a flat line, let's imagine I put the stethoscope on a brainless coffee table, and there's no signal. So you're going to hear a really dull sounding voice, no modulation at all, just a really flat
monotone
kind
of
sound. Yep, exactly. And it'll sound very computer-like, in fact. But as soon as any deflections occur in the signal, so in this case, you hear a little bit of chatter from an alpha rhythm in the signal from the sort of wake brain state, that modulates it. And if it were a large deflection, you'd hear a pitch change, which I could imitate. So
let's
a signal going up. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Let's go ahead and play, because we have a clip of a seizing brain, so let's listen to that.
Yep.
Wow, that is totally different. Wow. Josef, what is going on there?
So as you said, there's a rhythmicity in the brain activity, and that's not good. It's almost like you are in a stadium or you are out in Manhattan if I go out from your studio, and I can't distinguish one single rhythm. What I will hear is that chatter that we heard first. But then imagine if everybody speaks exactly the same thing with the same tone, then we get into this rhythmic explosive activity which shuts down the brain function, and that is exactly what these sounds are revealing to us.
Can you actually take the stethoscope and put it up to people's heads and
yes,
decide whether they're having a seizure or not?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what we have been doing lately, just to make sure that we are recording true brain activity and it's not like noise from the air. Yes, we have done that, and the goal is actually not to stop here, because this is just a simple device that's going to allow us to kind of hear the tone of our brain. So we are kind of tuning into our psyche using a qualified way rather than a quantified visual way. So we are trying the hearing versus seeing pathway to see exactly what's going on in the brain. And the device is going to be helpful to my patients, because they can actually even use the device themselves at home.
Right. Because you don't always know when you're having a seizure.
Exactly.
Right? This will tell you that.
But you see, unfortunately, nowadays, what we are doing is to actually record electrophysiological activity with these glued electrodes or tens of them, and it takes time, energy, and resources. This is going to be something you can carry in your pocket, or a doctor can actually carry in her or his pockets, and it's going to be, I hope it's going to be a device that's going to help us understand what the so-called music of the brain is like, and that's going to kind of open the way for understanding our thoughts and communicating through this type of media rather than quantified waveforms. Mm-hmm.
Chris, does it actually sound like you music to you as a composer?
Certainly does, and maybe that's something about me and my musical upbringing. But I'm always looking for a kind of new musical, what's called landscapes. Mm-hmm. When I tapped into some of the data that was provided from Parvizi's lab, I was hearing rhythms that are astonishingly intricate, really exciting for me, and something I'd never be able to get to in other types of practice that I'm engaged in. And so pursuing this on a musical level, yes, this has been really exciting.
And could the brain stethoscope be applied to other problems? Joseph, besides seizures?
There are some people who are actually coming out of surgery and they're not waking up, and you really want to know what's going on inside their brain. If you go and do an MRI, it's not going to show much because there's no structural abnormality. The problem is functional. Mm-hmm. So you can actually go and touch somebody's head and listen the tone of the brain activity. If it's extremely slow, you might know immediately within a second that the patient is comatose. Or if somebody's locked in, for example, it's going to be a completely different pattern.
Could you find out about whether sleeping patterns are right? Is that sort of way, different kind of waves, things like that?
Yeah, I don't want to put too much into this yet because we are still, you know, I'm coming from a scientific background and I want this to be both a clinical and scientific device, and we need to do thorough studies to actually verify those things, but that's definitely one of our plans.
Have you gotten okay from the FDA?
Not yet. Are working on that path as we speak.
To make a product that can be used by doctors or clinicians?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And anything that you would improve on if you could do it again?
Oh, well, this is just the beginning for us. I want, first of all, my patients to be benefited from this device,
right.
And I can't thank Chris enough for so much I've learned from him and what he has done to this technology. But then this is going to take us to a different arena when we can actually have a new modality of communication for, let's say, thoughts and emotions and so on. So there will be a device that's going to read your brain kind of tone, and that might actually one day we will be able to understand what that tone means.
Well, we'll have you back. Joseph Parvezi is Associate Professor of Neurology at Stanford, and Chris Chafe is a composer and director of the Center for Computer Research and Music and Acoustics at Stanford University. Thank you both for taking time to be with us today.